Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Hey, everyone, it's Pacific, and welcome back to SCP Archives, sort of. I don't have a full new episode for you this week, but I do have an hour and a half long interview. Jesse got a bunch of community-generated questions, and we spent an hour and a half going through all of them. Much of this episode is just an insight into how I create stuff and how I got into SCPs, so if you're interested in that, stay tuned and check it out. And just a quick and very important update, we're currently moving to a new Patreon postcard method. We'll now be doing postcards every single month of the year to make up for our like 6 month gap last year. So if you're interested in getting February's postcard, you have until January 28th to sign up at patreon.com/scp_pod. And I have a few other quick pieces of news. Next week on January 25th, I'll be premiering the first episode of my new true crime podcast on the SCP feed. It's called Insidious Inspirations. It's narrated by Nicole Goodnight, and it's co-written by Addison Peacock, two incredible actors who you already know from SCP Archives. I'll have more information about that next week, but you can find and subscribe to Insidious Inspirations wherever you listen to podcasts right now. And last but certainly not least, SCP Archives Season 4, Project Serapis, will premiere on February 1st. Just a quick reminder, this is different content than what we usually do. Project Serapis is going to be a 12-episode series all about one specific SCP entity that has been terrorizing an area of southern Montana for over a century. Each episode will dive into a different decade and explore how this anomaly has affected the nearby inhabitants, and all of the strange events that have occurred. I think that's it for me, but quick recap. Postcards on Patreon. You have until January 28th to sign up. Next week, True Crime Podcast premieres. Super excited. And the week after that, February 1st, SCP Archives Season 4. So stay tuned for all of that and much more. And now, presenting a very long and sort of awkward interview with me. Enjoy.
Warning. The Foundation database is classified. Unauthorized access will result in detainment. Within this archive, you'll find the procedures, descriptions, and accounts of the most notorious anomalies we've encountered to date. Secure, contain, protect.
Hey everyone, it's Pacific, and I'm here today with Jesse Hall, who will be asking me a variety of long and personal questions, and I guess I'll answer them all. So, without further ado, I'm Pacific Obadiah. That's Jesse Hall, who rudely interrupted me.
As always.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know, take it away, Jesse. What questions do you have for me today?
All right, Pacific, I have... Let me scroll my document. I have 10 questions of my own, not counting follow-ups. I have a lightning round, and then we have about 10 community questions that I culled from the little thread we had on Discord. All right, question one. As we all well know, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand by the group known as the Black Hand on June 28, 1914 is often cited as the reason World War I got rolling. Knowing this, I must ask you, what is your favorite color?
This was not on the prepared list of questions.
It was on the prepared list.
Not phrased like that.
Correct. That's not the important part.
My favorite color is like a mustard gold.
A mustard gold?
Yeah, it's like a dark gold. It pairs really well with black, and I wear a lot of black, so it's a nice like popping accent piece. So I have like black pants and a black shirt and like a nice little gold hoodie to, you know, just pop. I dress myself.
I was half expecting you to say a gold chain. I don't know why.
No, I only wear silver jewelry. That's ridiculous. Now, I dress myself like a video game character where all of my outfits are almost the same, save for like slightly different graphics on each of my shirts and slightly different colors of hoodies. So I have like the same hoodie in like gold and red and like a teal, and I just swap between those.
I'm so upset that we're basically the same person.
Yeah.
Except it's blue jeans, black shirt, and whatever crap I need to stay thermally aware.
It's basically like the Borderlands 3 costume system. Like, you know how you can recolor everything?
I hate that I understand and agree with that.
Right? You know exactly what I mean. Yeah, so
I can just see it in my head. I'm so mad. All
right. Or like the Halo 3 color system. Like, you have your black, and then maybe like your secondary is also black, or like a silver. And then your tertiary is that like pop of gold, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classy.
Classy.
You know, let people know. I got some money. Not a lot. I got some.
Yeah.
All right. So, in keeping with my first formal question to you about what your favorite color is, the sinking of the luxury liner owned by the Cunard Line, named the Lusitania, on May 7th, 1915, is known as the reason for America getting involved in World War I. Knowing this, what is a piece of media, be it a book, movie, song, poem, video game, or what have you, that changed you most as a person?
I have been deliberating this question since you texted me your questions at like 10 a.m. this morning, and I still do not have a good answer. Because I could name like this... I could name a few big ones. Like, Alan Wake was big in high school. There's a lot of Philip K. Dick stories I like. But I feel like the most correct answer is Oxenfree, which is an incredible indie game about some teens exploring an island off the Pacific Northwest coast. Of course, terrible things happen to them, right?
It's not a good time.
No, and there's cool ghosts, and there's radio signals, and it has everything that makes up, in my opinion, a really good horror story. It has great comedy. It has witty banter between all of its characters. It's a dialogue-driven game, so there's lots of dialogue choices, too. And it is, I would say, probably the biggest inspiration for Lake Clarity, because I remember playing Night in the Woods and Oxenfree, like, my freshman, sophomore year of college. And those...
That explains so much.
Right? and those very, very directly led me to create Lake Clarity, which is also inspired by a camping trip that I took my senior year with friends before we all went off to college. And, you know, it's part coming-of-age story, part watching all of my childhood friends get ripped apart by cabin-based monsters. So, yeah, Oxenfree.
Sounds like a mental, healthy mental headspace to occupy.
there was a point in creating Lake Clarity where I realized I just killed like my four closest best friends in the world, and like the last one, my friend Jared, who in Lake Clarity, his character's name is Mike. He dies in perhaps the most gruesome way. He gets like crushed against a glass wall, and like his bones just splat. I was in the studio writing it, and I just kind of stopped for a moment, and I was like, "Oh, is this how I'm dealing with like the grief of all of my high school friends moving away to like other colleges?" And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. Because like Jared went to Hawaii, my friends Aaron and Allie, Allie's Claire. Aaron and Claire went to, you know, Aaron went to California. Claire went up to like Boulder. So we all like went very different ways.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I just remember you sending me. I was in Mississippi, and I dead end master control job there. And I'm on company dime sending you messages on Tumblr and Facebook, and you're sending me stuff like, "Hey, you think this is too far?" I'm like, yeah, but fuck it, do it.
Right. Now, I for a lot of that show, we were writing it like sometimes like day of recording. Ideally, it'd be like the weekend before in studio, but like sometimes I was writing like page 10 while the actors were reading like page 2, just hoping that I could, just hoping that I could like catch up and like finish the last two pages of the script before they had to start reading, which I did. I'm going to say 4 out of our 8 episodes. But, you know, it worked out. It was a successful show, and obviously I got more and more into podcasting.
And you made a lifelong friend.
A lifelong friend to, I don't know if I can say you're a good influence, honestly.
No, that is not correct at all.
Yeah.
I'm an influence.
You are an influence. What else you got all for right. me?
So Oxenfree is the thing that bore into your skull.
Oxenfree, yep.
I guess I'll ask my next question then.
7 more.
No one's counting. What are you doing? What was the first SCP article you read?
I wish I put more thought into this one. I don't know. When we started the season, 087 was the first one I read. And that was like my big return to SCP after like not reading it. Like, you know, I got into it in a little bit in high school, and then I kind of like fell off for 2 or 3 years. And when John first approached me to do SCP Archives, this is a little shameful. I went to a tab on the wiki that's like most popular by ranking, and I clicked like the top 3. And of course, you know, like 173 is up there. You know, was it 2461? The dots and like the monster, it's all infographics.
Yes.
And obviously both really incredible SCPs, but neither make for very good audio. So like entry 3 or 4 was SCP-087, the stairwell. And I read it, and it was like the perfect audio script. You know, it was 2 characters max at any given time. We have 3-ish deaths. And there's a spooky face, and like there's a lot of really good description. And I was like, yes, this is perfect. So when we put together a test episode, that was like the episode that I sent Tom Owens, my boss. It led to this.
And it's been going great ever since. I love that you did everything that they have in like every rom-com movie. Like, man, I really got to get my life together. Spends 5 minutes researching. Man, I got my life together.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not even a montage. This is just happening real time. That's bad.
Just like 3 clicks on a website, like, oh, I know what to do now.
I'm an expert. Holy crap. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Question 4. Know what's your dream of labor, as we all well know. What job did you want as a child, or what job did your child brain invent that you wanted to do?
I have 2 answers. When I was...
Well, I did ask 2 questions.
Yeah, when I was a very young child, like, you know, 2nd, 3rd grade, I was absolutely fascinated by space. And I thought the idea of going to space was too scary because I was a very cowardly kid. I hated horror movies and was very easily frightened by everything. But I loved astronauts, so I decided, like, the best dream job for me would be to make the spaceships that astronauts used to get into space. So I never had to go into space, but I could help space efforts. That obviously didn't happen, because I got a major in English and theater. but in high school, I had a very... This is the fucking nerdiest dream ever. I was like, yeah, I'm okay at art. I like theater. I like painting and drawing and animation and all these things. I'm not very particularly good at any of those. I still suck at art and most other art forms. But I thought it'd be really cool to open my own studio and then pay people who are better artists than me to make art for me, which is effectively what I'm doing right now.
Oh my god, you successfully run a tax scam. I hate you.
Yeah, basically.
I should have seen the signs.
Yep, it's all there. When I told you that you have to get two friends to listen to podcasts and then they have to get two friends to listen to podcasts, I thought the pyramid scheme was like easily sideable, but you just kept on going.
No. If you got a real go-getter who's in on the basement level idea, they'll take it and run.
Yeah. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So to everyone listening to this, if you want to be a part of Pacific's pyramid scheme, go find two friends and tell them to listen to our podcast. And then once they do that, tell them to get two more friends to listen to our podcast.
And after 14 iterations, you'll have expended the entire population of Earth.
Yeah.
Have fun with that math.
So then we'll make more people to and make them listen to my podcast.
Hang on.
Cloning.
Hang on.
Or bots. I don't care. Either or.
Whatever gets
the job done, right?
I no, thank you.
Aliens?
I grew up watching all the Terminator movies. I ain't about no bot people.
It's fine. Listen, if Skynet likes my podcast, I think I'm in the clear, right?
Listen to you bending the knee to the oppressor.
I mean, if Skynet is like, yeah, listen, just keep doing your thing, I think that's a pretty okay existence.
This actually works really well into my next question, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask it.
Please.
In your own words, your own personal opinion, in the official statement of Midnight Disease Productions, what is the allure of horror?
This is a great question. Wikipedia famously said, and I think it was a quote of Stephen King, but I'm not sure, but Wikipedia quoted someone else saying that horror is the feeling of disgust after something terrible has happened, right? You know, you watch a baby get eaten, or you watch some dude get his head chopped off with a chainsaw, and you are horrified. And while that's appealing, I think all of the really interesting stuff in horror happens in the first part, which is dread. The feeling of tension and suspense leading up to something absolutely terrible happening. Where, you know, the kind of dread where it's like, you know this is going to end badly. You know she's going to open the door and the killer is right behind her. You know that everyone is going to die, but it hasn't happened yet. And there's a glimmer of hope, but you are just on the edge of your seat the entire time. And that is a feeling that is so unique to horror. You know, you don't find it in action or comedy very often. It is just a very wonderful, unique, and very strong feeling.
If I may borrow a phrase from Mirror's Edge 2, it's not the end of the world, but I can see it from here.
Is that from Mirror's Edge 2?
I believe so.
God, I quote that
the
a
quote
lot.
Was lit,
is that from Mirror's Edge
2?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that's a great quote. Is that from Mirror's Edge 2? This is going to ruin my night.
Why don't you Google real quick, Pacific?
I'm scared if I do, I'll disconnect myself.
Huh, if only you had a wired connection like certain people on this call.
Like, if I slip, my phone's already at, like, 11%, so we're living on the edge right now.
Oh, good Christ, Pacific. All right, no, it's fine. Sorry, it's doing great. So, question 6. Not to get political, but what's the deal with birds?
I asked these questions to Sid earlier to get their responses, mm-hmm. To kind of, like, go through a mock thing. And they said, like, oh, you know, they're just little fellas. My answer is entirely different. My god is a small finch named Gravel who wears a crown. I'll put some photos on Discord for you later. And he is a supreme being and should be respected. And that is my final answer.
I immediately regret. I said, huh, this would be a funny thing to say. And Pacific says, no, I understand the assignment. I got this. All right, now question 7 is actually one that I wanted to hear from you because I don't think we've ever had like a conversation about this. I know you've talked like on the Discord here and there and on Twitter some about this, but didn't have like us have a meat and potatoes discussion. So
yeah,
question 7. In terms of SCP articles, what flavor of them call out to you the most and why? So is it spooky object? Is it spooky place? Is it spooky person? What's the flavor that gets you the most, and why?
Another excellent question. I do like haunted places a lot, just because I think, especially in audio, which is obviously important for our jobs, the exploration and discovery of a place is immensely interesting and satisfying. You know, like, I feel like location-based horror you can just do so much with, you know, whether it's, like, monsters crawling out of the ground or discovering, like, an endless time loop deep in the earth or a giant spaceship inside the moon. Like, there's a lot of really cool things you can do with location-based horror. Not quite in the question, but, same side of the coin. I also really like SCP articles that deal specifically about, like, the human side of the Foundation. Stuff that's, like, what's a good example? Major Alexei Belotrov, right? You know, we have a soldier from an alternate dimension who has this, like, chitinous armor melded to his skin. And he comes to our world, which is not at war with strange underground people and such. And there is no war, and there's no purpose for him. And the entire episode, you know, explores a bit of his PTSD and also explores, like, you know, this doctor who's just another person like he is, who just treats him as such. You know, like, he's a super tank on, you know, on legs that can run around and destroy anything. But here he is having a quiet moment with the doctor. And that is, I think, my favorite flavor of SCP. You know, it's personal. It's deeply emotionally moving oftentimes. Yes. And it's just interesting, right? You know, people get ripped up all the time. But how many times do you have this, like, quiet, somber moment where, you know, this dude grows old and dies and gets buried in a church, right?
Just one of those, like, I'm supposed to be mad or scared, not why are my eyes sweating? Why is there so much sweat in my eyes? What is happening?
Yes, exactly that. Now, any story that can, like, emotionally move me and, like, make me cry, what's the number? 3980, we did it this season, Forget Me Not, which Addison narrated, you know, which is all about a woman in the desert losing her memory. And that is, you know, such a deeply, like, terrifying one, and also, like, deeply sad one. Same for, like, Red Reality, you know, all of those stories, like, are scary in a certain lens, but more than anything are just, like, really, really sad.
I want to help them. That ain't happening.
Hey, y'all, Pacific here with a very quick and very brief ad break. And a reminder, ad-free and bonus episodes are available at our Patreon at patreon.com/SCP_POD.
All right, so you guys know that I've been trying to lose weight lately. You know, I've been kind of on the bigger side for most of my life, but I've been able to drop a lot of weight because I've been trying to eat healthier.
You look good.
Thank you. The problem is I can't cook at all. Like, I'm basically just make,
I've tasted your food.
I don't know if you guys ever heard of Factor Meals before.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so Factor Meals, it's like these easy, ready-to-eat meals that they'll send to your house.
I'm sure you've
heard of services that do this.
Yes,
where they send food. And it's this. What I actually really liked about Factor is it's like, it has to be kind of idiot-proof for me because I can't cook or do anything, but it's like ready in 2 minutes. It literally comes everything together. You don't have to
make anything.
It's all put together in its own thing. 2 minutes. It's not frozen, which actually makes it awesome.
Oh, nice.
You know, the frozen food.
Yeah.
It comes like in a box. It's like chilled, with the cooling stuff. But you got all kinds. So I did the keto one, but they also have like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus. They've even got like, so my wife ended up really liking these like energy shots.
Okay.
That they put in the box that we ordered, where it's literally like just a little shot of different kinds of energy shots that were awesome.
That sounds amazing.
I always was like, I'd see these commercials or I'd hear commercials for stuff, but I thought Factor Meals seemed like something that was really threading that needle and would have been really, really perfect for me. But dude, they had like pancakes, smoothies.
Who doesn't love pancakes?
Dinners and stuff like that.
Yeah. So they have breakfast?
They got like midday snacks. And so I thought it was like perfect.
Get it in, get it done, boom.
If you're just looking for like fast premium options and you don't have to really cook or be able to do anything.
Sure.
Factor is awesome for that kind of stuff. And I thought the quality of the meals, restaurant quality meals that I just could like heat and eat, dude. So it's not like your frozen stuff you get at the grocery store. So if you guys want to try Factor Meals, I'd say go for it because it's really helped me out. And I was actually really surprised. All you guys have to do is head to factormeals.com/badmovies50 and use code badmovies50. That's 50 to get 50% off. That's code badmovies50 at factormeals.com/badmovies50 to get 50% off. Guys, give it a try.
That's half.
I know.
And now back to the show.
So I famously hate jump scares. Mm-hmm. Because I think they're done too much and too cheaply these days.
Yes, I agree.
What is a horror trope you think has been overdone and can still be good if used wisely?
I feel like this one might offend a lot of people, but honestly, like, especially in the realm of, like, SCP, but also just in other, like, kind of generic sci-fi horror settings, I hate the squad of faceless soldier goons who, like, come in and clean up the problem. You know, in SCP, obviously, like, we have the MTF task force, and in a lot of stories, like, they'll have pretty extensive exploration logs where, like, they go in, they come up, they kill a bunch of people, they die in terrible, gruesome ways, and then at the end of the day, everything is usually okay, right? And, right. You know, kind of writing off my last question, like, you know, it's really cool action and stuff, and sometimes, you know, they're exploring really interesting things, but you either lose, like, the that personal human element of the Foundation, or, you know, my problem is a lot of times it just kind of falls into, like, the, oh, okay, MTF is here, they're going to shoot stuff and leave. You know, I feel like authors who use MTF really effectively, you know, one, give, like, their characters a lot of personality, you know. There's plenty of banter, and, you know, I look for stories that have, like, really good soldier banter, because it's interesting, it's engaging, and if I... You know, if I can laugh with the character, I'm going to care if they die. And, you know, that is just...
You're welcome.
Yeah. And that just raises the stakes. But, you know, oftentimes it's like, oh, yeah, go in, shoot stuff. Oh, no, I'm dead. And it's like, well, like, what if they did more, you know? Or I think, like, containment specialists are underused. Like, I'd love to see more of, like, the research and investigation in SCPs, you know, like... How yes. You figure out to contain this thing, or, you know, what it's actually doing.
I think that's a thing I can agree with on you, not to, like, throw my own opinion to a question that I'm asking you, but the idea that death is the worst thing that can happen to you. I'm like, oh, yeah, we just lost the entire team.
Like, yeah. Okay. I, like, again, you know, going back to, like, Red Reality, like, death isn't the worst thing. If mm-hmm. the main character's name has escaped me, like, it escaped him when his brain got gooey. But, you know, death wasn't the worst thing. Forgetting his wife was, you know.
Yes.
And then forgetting his wife wasn't the worst thing. Coming back and being a pile of gooey flesh and organs was. And traumatizing his wife was the worst thing. You know, like, it's such a richer stake, right? Especially,
yes.
Again, with MTF, like, with how often they get used and how often they die. Same with, like, D-Class, like... You know, if a D-class dies, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, same with MTF. Like, they're supposed to be badass soldiers, but they die so often that they fail to have those high
Are
stakes.
Are they badass?
They're supposed to be.
Power creeps funny that way, I guess.
Yep. Which, like, you know, don't get me wrong. I love a good dispensable soldier, but, again, it loses the stakes.
I gotcha. You know, speaking of losing stakes,
oh, God.
How weird is it having a working partnership with Rooster Teeth?
Yeah, you know, Rooster Teeth is something, like, I grew up with Rooster Teeth, I grew up with Red versus Blue, and, like, Achievement Hunter, and
how dare you?
And I feel like a lot of people my age, like, you know, they're a huge inspiration, you know, like, when you first saw them do, you know, like, all their Let's Plays, or, like, Gavin's PlayPal, you know, like, it seems like the coolest place to work, and they seem like the coolest people, and they are, they're super wonderful and cool people. So, of course, when we got to a level where it's like, oh, you know, we're doing really well in the charts, I made a list of, like, shows that we could possibly collaborate with, and, you know, that, like, would help expand our audience, or, like, people who have similar audiences. And Rooster Teeth was, like, top of my list. It's like, it probably won't happen, but I respect them a lot. I love their comedy. I grew up with it. And, you know, they're all so incredibly talented. You know, we had Gus on our most recent crossover episode, and, you know, he's phenomenal as Benny Slothrop. And, you know, he's just the wit and the banter that he had just on his own, right?
Parabola.
Now, I'm so glad that I got to work with them. I was like, one of my bucket list items growing up was to like do something with Rooster Teeth, and I got to do that this year twice. You know, our preseason episode, All's Well That Ends Hell, also had Blaine and Chris in it, and like, you know, John and I got to go and work on their shows. You know, it's such a cool experience. It is incredibly humbling to work with, you know, artists and actors that I've looked up to like my entire life.
I'm still mad at you about going on the plane show, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I was not asked to join because I went to college and my teacher covered a plane crash in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that he rode for the rest of his career because it was so bad and so weird. They made a made-for-TV movie in it starring a lot of people with a lot of hairspray on them. I have a copy of that movie because you can't get it anywhere else.
I remember you sending me one of the a photo of, like, it's a VHS, right?
I sent you the poster. Yeah. It's a lot to look at.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, straight up had a wind condition that caused the plane to shear in half, and one half went one way and one half went the other.
That's terrifying.
And the tail end of the plane is the part where everybody survived. The front half, no survivors.
Jesus Christ.
The tail, it was described several places by my teacher as an escape pod jettisoning from a ship.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that would have been a great discussion to have a bunch of plane nerds, huh? I'm not bitter.
I'll email Gus and see if we can, you know, get another Benny Slothrop episode in the works.
Yeah. Get Lord Stonefish on the phone.
Listen, you know, Theo likes to have a lot of returning characters. I bet they would love to bring back Benny Slothrop.
How dare.
Yeah, DJ Slimy is a recurring character. DJ Slimy in SCP-6223, Burn With Me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Huh. He's in, I want to say, like, two or three episodes. He has, like, a smaller role. I don't think he, like, straight up talks and tortures people until our Burn With Me episode. But he appears in the mentions of a few other articles, which I'll go find and put up on our Discord later.
Yay!
Thank you for that, Jesse.
All right. Hey, it's what I'm here for. I did that on a terrestrial radio station once because they needed, you know, a body in a chair to say things about high school football. I was like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good.
Oh, God.
And they tried to get me out of that chair as quickly as possible, but they didn't have enough people, so I got to sit in the chair.
Of course.
Were stared in my direction, and it had no effect. So, Pacific.
So, me.
Final question from me before we move on to lightning round. Who is your least favorite member of the SCP cast, and why is it Jesse Hall?
Ever since he messaged me on Tumblr, which, like, really? Tumblr? That's the social media platform you're going to reach out to?
Oh, he messaged you, and not you messaged him.
Did I message you first?
You messaged me first. You've done this twice now.
Ever since I saw your Tumblr post and decided to message you, I knew that it was my life's goal not to make an art studio or to podcast, but to single-handedly inconvenience you. You know, not to ruin your life, because you had to have those high moments, but I had to bring you down a peg or two. And
I'm upset that you're succeeding.
just these little inconveniences, like, you know, like stubbing your toe on every corner you walk around.
It's the slow death that gets you. No, I got you.
Death by a thousand paper cuts, or two sweaty hands covered in glitter.
There were questions about my wedding night about, like, hey, are you ever going to get Pacific back for the glitter? And I passed over them because I was going to be nice.
Come to Colorado, yeah. Coward. Glitter fight,
come
you
back
and
to
me,
Alabama,
right
coward.
Now. That's too far. It's so humid down there. Do you know what the humidity does to my hands?
Makes them puddles, I assume.
They sweat out about the same rate. No, they're always puddles. It is arid and dry and cold in Colorado, and I am splashing around in my little recording booth.
You have, what, 8% battery now?
How'd you know that? Yeah, it's exactly 8%. I'm a little worried.
Spy camera's coming in good, unlike your internet connection. All right. Lightning round. Fast questions, fast answers, no pass, no easy out. You must choose one of the following.
I'm not ready.
Peanut butter or jelly?
Peanut butter.
Turkey or ham?
Turkey.
Tater or tots?
Tater.
Fall or spring?
Fall.
Tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee. Sorry, I think you said pee or coffee, and I was like, what kind of question is that?
A Jesse Hall question. Yeah. Bread or tortilla?
Ooh, tortilla.
Anime or Adult Swim?
Adult Swim.
Disgusting. Console or PC?
Console. All day, every day.
Disgusting. Pokemon or Digimon?
I'm going to say Digimon. Got to catch them all. All
right. Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, Star Wars, easily. Hate the canon stuff, but like all the extended universe, the shows, the TV, significantly.
This is not lightning round.
That's fine.
Color Out of Space or Mandy?
Ah, shit! Ooh, Mandy.
Lightning round. Global Cult Coalition or Church of the Broken God?
Church of the Broken God.
Minecraft or Terraria?
Minecraft.
Coke or Dr. Pepper?
Coke. Oh, God, I love Coke. The soda. I'm a religious
house,
fanatic.
House music or dubstep?
Dubstep, I guess.
Dance Dance Revolution or Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero.
And finally, Ghost in the Shell or Blade Runner?
Blade Runner. I'm so sorry, guys. Love Philip K. Dick. He got me right in high school, right in the sci-fi sweet spot.
And that's the lightning rounds.
That was stressful.
I'm glad two of those hit you right where you live. I'm so happy.
Do we want to open up to some of our community questions? I think you made a short list of them. Is that correct?
I have a list of 10. I picked the best ones I could find.
Another 10. All right. So down to 7%. Let's do it.
All right, we got this. All right, so our first community question comes in from a user. Let's see if I can pronounce this right. Owl. They ask, Pacific, why are you such a nerd?
It's a side effect of the sweat. Yeah, I didn't expect that one, did you?
The fact that there was an answer at all, that's all we're looking for.
I thought long and hard about it. I assumed that question would come up, so I've been preparing.
Oh, you knew.
Yeah, I knew.
As much as the Jesse Hall bit sucks, you know. All right. Question number two of the community. Viper in the 5x5 asks, what got you into SCP? And I think we've answered that sort of, which was money.
Well, it wasn't money. No. I think I've talked about this briefly in other Q&As, but I had worked with John Grills, our lovely host and narrator. I'd worked with him on a few episodes of Creepy when he was first getting started. We were in in the Audio Drama Hub community on Facebook, and yeah. I think he had some questions about like copyright stuff and like Creative Commons, and I was really into Creative Commons and copyright stuff, so I was like, oh, this and this and this. And also, if you need some help, I'd love to edit your show. And I think I badgered him about it like 4 or 5 times. And he finally like recorded a few episodes, and he's like, all right, here you go. And of course, like, this is like right after Small Town Horror ended, and he was like one of the big names in podcasting. So I was like super eager to work with him, and I think we did Smile Dog, Candle Cove, and a few other ones. Like, if you listen to the first like 10 creepy episodes, I did like 3 or 4 of them. And then like a year later, he was like, hey, I would love to do an SCP show, kind of like Creepy, are you interested? And I put it off for about a year, and
how dare you.
You know, I was in college and I was young, and I think we were working on, oh God, Aftershocks and then Enoch Saga, which we didn't finish.
Yep.
And then we kind of had a gap, and I was like looking for my next big podcast project because, you know, like I said, I was still in college. I still had like some time on my hands, and I really wanted to like continue podcasting. So I shot him back a message. I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do this. And then I opened up the wiki and read SCP-087, and we made a show.
And all of our lives have gotten so weird ever since.
Yeah.
So actually, right? That leads really well into the next community question. from Mix Zorf. How do you manage so many projects? I hate this laugh. I hate this laugh so much.
The fun answer is I don't. The real answer is I have an extensive to-do list that I update every single morning of my life.
Oh, disgusting.
I know. I'm...
That's so gross.
I have, like, terrible executive disorder. So if I don't, like, have a list of the things I need to do and, like, what my top priorities are and, like, what are kind of optional for, like, today but I could do tomorrow, if I don't have all of that sorted out at the start of my day, I will sit at my desk and do nothing. I will just, like, click through emails. I won't answer emails. I'll just kind of, like, read them and then mark them as unread so I come back to them later. And I will just waste days. So every morning, usually right after I get out of the shower, I'll sit down and, like, I'll go through my to-do list. And usually I make it, like, a week in advance. So I'll know, like, oh, Tuesday I have X and Y and Z. And then, like, Tuesday morning I'll go through that and, like, add some stuff, I'll move some stuff, you know, and just kind of resort it. And then I basically, yes, I'd make, like, a list of, like, okay, I'm gonna start with this and move on to that. So yeah, lots and lots of to-do lists, lots of planning too. My advice to anyone starting their own podcast is a great pre-production makes for a good production. So if you want to have a show that runs smoothly, you should spend so much time in pre-production, spend so much time scheduling, spend so much time planning how you're going to execute, you know, recording, how you're going to finish editing, when you're going to release, how you're going to release. You know, the more you plan in advance, the easier your show will be.
My eyes glazed over because I think back to the conversation we had once.
Yeah.
It was during season one of SCP Archives. Mm-hmm. And you said, yeah, no, I'm just filling out a lot of spreadsheets. I said, yeah. Are you having fun? You're like, oh, God.
I love them.
I would give up voice acting and writing if I could just fill out spreadsheets all day long. I tasted blood at that moment.
I am not going to lie. One of the coolest things I've gotten to do this year is, like, significantly less voice acting, which I do miss. But I've spent so much more time working on spreadsheets and, like, plotting and planning stuff, and it just it's so deeply satisfying. And like, you know, a big reason is, like, my first shows like Clarity and Aftershocks, we did 8 episodes or 12 episodes. Like, those are really short seasons, and it took us months just to work through those. But with SCP, we had to do an episode every week for 36 weeks. That's a huge order. And one that I, like, arbitrarily chose for us. I was like, yeah, that seems doable. Why not, you know? But, yeah, like, I sat down. And, like, even for 31 Days of Horror, which I'm, like, halfway through editing right now. I just hit day 20. You know, beginning of the month, I sat down. I made a list of, like, every story that we had, what was turned in, what had been recorded, what hasn't been recorded, what had been edited but didn't have music, and what had music and was, like, ready to upload. And I update that list every single day.
That same feeling, that same malaise, that same taste of blood.
Jesse.
Right back, right there. Just
spreadsheets.
I'm taking back. It's like that part in Ratatouille, Mother's Favorite Ratatouille, where the critic eats the soup. It's like the soup from his childhood. Except it's the exact opposite feeling. I'm just shook back. I'm on Normandy. I hear the explosions. I hear German everywhere, and I don't speak a word of it. And I'm just confused and lost in the woods and the wilds. And you're sitting here giggling at me.
I'll put it like this. We have our December project most... actually totally scheduled out at this point. We have all of what will be Season 5, which will be our March to October season next year, scheduled out. In addition to the Hotel Season 4, which just started this month. And I put in a slot for what was out of place, because Ben Counter just finished Season 2. But, like, I have about 80% of 2022 plotted out right now. And if everything goes as I've plotted it currently, my hope is that by February, we've already had most of the year's work done and just, like, ready for upload, just sitting there.
bile was bad. The blood, the burning, the fire, the flames. Anybody that hasn't watched Clue should really watch Clue to understand what I'm doing right there. Same feeling, though. Exact same feeling.
Just schedule. Well, because then that frees up my entire 2022 to tackle two new podcasts that I've wanted. I actually wanted to work on this
year. Oh, my sweet Lord!
But I didn't have enough time. No! I didn't have enough time. So I'm going to do all of my work for next year in the next 4 months of this year and finish it by, like I said, February. So then I have from March until December to just, like, write and make, like, three new shows. Or four, maybe five.
This is why the Doctor has a human companion, because otherwise they spiral into this loop you're going through right now by rote.
Listen, I have a nice work-life balance, I sleep well, and I could be...
I don't believe you.
I sleep 8 hours a night, and I think I could be making more content.
Pacific, I believe you think that's true. You could look me in the eye and say that, and I could think, yeah... They definitely believe that. However, I know better. I get 4 hours of sleep a day. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. Yes, that's eight hours. Yeah.
Can I tell you an awful truth?
Let's hear it.
Today is my day off. Usually I take weekends off to just like hang out with my partner and relax, right? Because I work Monday through Friday. I have office hours and everything. Which, if you're working from home, incredibly important to set office hours and to, like, stop working at a certain time or else you will drive yourself crazy. I woke up this morning at 6 so I could drive my sister to work. And I came back and I was laying in bed and, Mal was still sleeping, so I didn't want to wake him up. But I was like, you know, I feel like doing something. So I wrote and drafted an entire 4-episode plot line for a fun little short story I'm working on by 8 o'clock this morning. And that was peak productivity right there.
So we make a joke sometimes, me and the other mods when you're not around, that we should, like, get one of those child strap beds. Just to hold you down.
I was just laying in bed.
You don't see the damage you're doing to this family. You don't see what you're doing. You're too close to the sun. Go back.
In addition to having a really good to-do list app, I highly encourage everyone to have a really good notes app, because I use my notes app every single day of my life. It is like the thing that keeps me functioning, so that way I can wake up at like 6 a.m. and frantically type a bunch of notes and bullet points to myself for later.
See, I go old school. I have a notepad I keep on my desk, on my bedside table. So if I wake up at 4 in the morning, if I'm going to bed at 4 in the morning, I just, you know, quickly scribble down whatever happens. Yep. If I can read it in the morning, it gets typed up. And that's the more honest way to go about it.
Yeah, no, I actually very recently made the switch to digital notes. For a long time, I was, like, hardcore into my Moleskin. I still have, like, a work Moleskin and a creative Moleskin that I carry around everywhere in case I have, like, a meeting or if I have, like, a story idea. But I tend to use those more for, like, actually sitting down and writing, because typing is fine, but, like, when I'm first writing a story, I like to handwrite it just to kind of, like, force myself to, like, keep going. But those are all my little creative mannerisms. Why don't you tell me what the next question is?
It actually works well what we were just talking about. From one, let's see if I'm saying this right, Daisy.
That doesn't sound right to
me. What's your favorite part of a project? Yeah, it sounds weird. What's your favorite part of a project to work on? And do you have any favorite projects? So we need you to commit the cardinal sin. Choose a favorite child.
Fudge Pop. I honestly, like, the pre-production and planning. If I can spend a day just, like, sending out emails and assigning things, I get this really sick, satisfying feeling because I've just sent out a bunch of work for, like, actors to do, like, you know, recording lines. I've, like, sent out work for editors. And I know, like, deep down in my heart, like, oh, wow, I just started, like, you know, 5 different episodes into production, and I have this moment where I can just, like, sit back, and I know that somewhere someone is doing work on my behalf, and it's, there's nothing like it, Jesse.
You and I don't chase the same rushes. I know that much.
The only rush that I would like equate this to is like writing, like sitting down and writing for like 4 hours and like finishing like a nice script. And like that relish when you like just the script just like pours out of you and you finish and it's like 10 p.m. and you're done and the script, it just feels right. And it's just like, wow, that was, it's like refreshing almost. All right. You know what I mean?
No.
Does creative work not like refresh and rejuvenate you?
The last time I felt refreshed and rejuvenated after writing a script was when I finished my movie script in high school.
I feel like
every That Town script has been completed out of spite. It is the venom leaving my body, and I give it to the world so they may take it in and go, ah, now we have the inoculation, the cure. It is in its most pure form.
It feels like a video game level, right? Like when I'm writing, it feels like I'm slowly taking progressive damage. And then when I finish a script, it feels like, oh, level cleared, full HP. You know, like you got a pouch full of coins. You can like spend it on upgrades. It's like, oh, cool. I'm ready for the next level now. And then usually I go to
bed. You and I also don't play the same video game specific because I equate the writing system to like playing a Shin Megami Tensei game. Which God. Is, well, I got out by the skin of my teeth. That wasn't the boss. Oh. Oh no.
The boss has a second stage? Oh no.
Oh. Oh no. Okay. Question 5 from our loving community. This one's from SCP-106's Tooth Collection.
Oh, hi, Tooth Collection.
We kind of went over this, but still. How do you start writing stories, and what got you into using podcasting as a medium to tell them?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Golly gosh, two things. Let me answer the second half of your question first. The reason I chose podcasting specifically is because I was in college and I had no budget for anything. All of my actors were like friends that I made in theater classes. I was using my campus's journalism office. We had like a radio booth and I was a part of the journalism office. So I'd like reserve time in the radio booth so we could record for free, usually like after classes got out at like 6 o'clock and deep into the night. But I chose podcasting specifically for one, I guess it's my golden rule, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. I did not have the budget to make like a cool sci-fi video, nor the expertise on how to edit, or anything like that. But I listen to a lot of podcasts. I really like podcasts, and it seemed like that was the most, that was the path of least resistance to tell the stories I wanted to tell. I knew that I could get sound effects to like have gore ripping, or I could use music to like help convey a scene. I didn't have to worry about like, you know, film shoots and checking out expensive equipment or like trying to find someone to edit it. I could edit audio myself. We had the studio. I had actors. So it just kind of like all clicked into place for me. With writing, a similar rule applies, you know, just keep it simple, stupid. I try and keep all of my scripts very simple. I try and like kill off any characters that are just kind of like, you know, extra. Like if it's a character that has like 2 lines, I'll either do it myself or I just will omit them unless they're really important. But if they're important, usually I can like give them more lines. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, going back to it, I think the thing that inspires me to write is, I don't have an answer for this. I thought I did.
You were building up to something and let us all down.
I know.
Just like that.
I get little fixations, right? I will. Yeah, I like to read a lot, and every good writer should read all the time. Yeah, I love to read Vonnegut, I love to read Stephen King, and the thing that I enjoy most about that is it gets my imagination going. You know, if I'm reading Stephen King, or I'm reading Philip K. Dick, or I'm reading Isaac Asimov, I can often see the stories that they're telling, right? Yeah, I know what the characters look like, I know what the locations look like, and I can see them so clearly in my head. And from that, like, you know, I'll imagine other little aspects, like, you know, the Institute, Stephen King novel, has like a sleepy little town with like a train station, like a train that goes by. And, you know, sometimes my mind lingers in those places. You know, what else happens at the train station, or what else happens around this small little town, or, you know, what happens down the road on the side of the highway where it's only flatlands and, you know, there's no rest stops. You know, like, I like to fill in these little gaps. And that tends to be where a lot of my stories come from. You know, it's what if X happened, and what if Y did this, and then what if Z occurs? And I like solving these little problems for myself. I think that's the most boring answer I could give to why I like to write, turn it into
but
a little
it's
equation.
It's like eye-opening.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, no, that's the nuts and bolts. That is literally how a sausage gets made. Okay,
right.
Huh.
Like, I, you know,
A lot of screaming. Got it.
Yeah. Like, in high school, you know, I took creative writing classes, of course, and we had this book, 3 AM Epiphany, which has a bunch of writing prompts in it. And I think the one that has always stuck with me the longest is, you know, envision 5 characters. You know, they can be from your favorite book or TV show or, you know, your own creations. But envision 5 characters and lock them in a closet. You know, small broom closet, not much room. What do they do? And it's, you know, it's a satisfying puzzle. You know, where is the closet? Is it on a space station? Are they hiding from space pirates? That's the story that I wrote. Or, you know, maybe are they on, like, a ship and they're hiding from sea pirates? That's the same idea. But, you know, like, where can you put that closet? What is the relationship between these 5 people? What do they talk about? Why are they in the closet? You know, there's so many questions that you can answer, and there's so many reasons you can give. They're in the closet because it's a surprise party. They're in the closet because of whatever else.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't answer Daisy's second question, did I? What is my favorite show?
No. What's your favorite one, Pacific?
Out of Place. Sorry, I was just thinking about that. Thinking about characters locked in small closets. Ben Counter. Actually, it was Travis Van Groff who connected us. But he reached out to me. He's like, hey, this is Ben. He's a really great writer. He wants to make a podcast. My plate is full. Do you want to do something with him? And, yeah, he wanted to make like a found footage-ish podcast. Which is right up my alley. So I emailed Ben and I was like, hey, that sounds really cool. Please tell me more. And making Out of Place kind of happened out of nowhere. Like, you know, it just happened, right? You know, he reached out, random happenstance. I didn't expect it. I didn't plan for it. But it has come as such a nice surprise. You know, the first season was just incredibly well written. It was really fun to make. You know, it was simple in scope, but had this really cool idea that worked well in audio, had this really cool execution that worked well in audio, and then season 2 was even better than the first. So I think that's my current favorite.
I can't believe you commit the cardinal sin of choosing one child over another.
Yeah.
Also, I like the idea of somebody saying, hey, Pacific, my plate is too full. Do you have some room? And you're seeing they're like scraping stuff over your plate. Absolutely, buddy, do I?
I have never said no to an opportunity yet. If there is
your bones show that.
Yeah. If there is someone who wants to do something, I will make the time to at least try to do it. Just because, like, why not, right? Like, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get to do podcasting full time, but even when I wasn't, it was such a high priority for me that, like, you know, if I had someone who wanted to write a show for me, you know, how could I say no to that? You know, it's an opportunity to work with someone new. It's an opportunity to try a new story or try a new concept. And like the worst that happens is like, oh, the story didn't work out. You know, we decide not to publish it, or, oh, we got partway through and it just didn't happen. And that's fine. I've had plenty of failures in my career. I've had plenty of projects that started and stopped at some point. Case in point, the Enoch Saga, which is a really cool adaptation of a phenomenal sci-fi book that I love, that, you know, just fell apart because of, you know, mostly like my own life stuff happening. I was in college. I was busy all the time. But It was fun to work on. It was fun to adapt a book. It was fun to work with an author who was, again, another really prolific and great sci-fi writer.
I keep forgetting I can't nod during this because no one can see me do that. So
Anytime
he thinks, like, Jesse's not listening, he's just, no, he's nodding his head like a moron.
I don't know. Your eyes glazed over a few times when we were talking about spreadsheets. I don't know.
Stop. Not the darkness again, no.
Right.
From Mr. _ Abel, are there any SCPs you wish were a real thing?
Oh, God, no, they're all horrifying. Even the most practical one, like the vending machine, what was that, 184, where you could just, order anything. Yeah, Cup of Joe. Even that has such terrible dark implications that, I would shudder to think, what if it was there? I know people. People are generally unhinged and crazy. If you left this vending machine, on a college campus, eventually someone's going to, ask for a cup of dark matter and then implode the entire campus, right? 294.
Good. Now show those...
Thank you, Portal.
Education-loving jerks who's bust.
Oh, my God. God, I'm trying to think of, other... interesting ones, right? No.
Tickle Monster's great, but...
999, I think, is probably the one okay one.
But...
Ooh, I have one. I actually... It might have gotten removed from the wiki, and I've definitely forgotten the number. But there's one out there that's, it was, a Honda Civic or, some small car. And it was, on one particular day, in one particular location... when the window was rolled up and you looked out the driver's side window, you could see these strange yellow aliens all standing around. And the one person who saw them said, they reportedly said, oh, that shouldn't be happening, we'll fix this. And then a second later disappeared, and they were never able to replicate that, indicating that there are strange yet tall yellow aliens around us all the time observing us. And they don't like to be seen. It's a really short one, but I love that concept so much.
Was it Roadside Picnic? Similar vibe?
Yeah, very similar.
It's well, we have no way of understanding what this is, so we're just going to keep on going like nothing happened. Yeah. Also, big fan of laughing into crying, back into laughing. That proves yes. Really level as a person, I think.
Right, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
In keeping with that question, from WD Cypher, how many SCP games have you played?
Two. Containment Breach and Project Josie, which I think has a different name, but I know it's Project Josie. And I played that because our Secret voice Labs? Actors are three. In it.
Yeah, I'm in a Vigi game. How about that?
Yeah. And so is Karim and Tanya and Nicole. Is that correct? I forgot who's on that roster, but that was a really fun project to work on. Same kind of thing as Out of Place. We just had a dude reach out and was like, hey, I think actually they connected with Tom because Tom was going to do their music. And then Tom said they needed some voices. And I was like, oh, connect me and I'll talk to them and, get some voices made for their game.
Hmm. We've also played Secret Labs because we had game nights for that.
Oh, is Containment Breach the single player one?
Yes.
Secret Labs is what I played then. I don't think I've played the single player one. Or I might have when it first came out, when I was in high school. But if then, only briefly.
Don't even know where you've been to get here. Disgusting.
Right. It's all a blur. All right. What else we got, Jesse?
Going to demolish this name from Kahu, Khue.
Sure.
You've answered the other parts of their question because they had a little multi-parter, so I'll ask this part instead. Where would you like to take your career?
Good question. I'm at a fun place right now where it's SCP is doing really well,
And time to burn it all down.
No, I'll probably continue SCP for as long as people are listening, because it's a fun project to work on. And like the thing I like most about the SCP community is they really value creativity and unique ideas. And I feel like a lot of our current SCPs, you know, everything in like the 6000 hub, is on like really cutting edge of like the sci-fi genre and, you know, to the horror genre to a degree. So I feel like I want to continue adapting those stories, because it's been really cool to see like what constituted Foundation sci-fi horror back in like 2016 versus like the stories that we get now, and you know, just how that evolves and changes. So yeah, I'll definitely be continuing SCP for the foreseeable future. But yeah, I really want to hop...
I mean, if we keep collecting the authors on the Discord server, we can just start mining them for more content.
Exactly, yeah.
Come on, man. Before it hits the website, come on. Come on, give it to me. I need it.
No, I do want to...
Are you scratching your arm? No.
No, I do want to get more into writing, because Margaret's Garden was like the first show I'd written since Lake Clarity Season 2, which came out in like 2019 or 2018. And I, you know, since writing Margaret's Garden, I've just been itching to go back. So I do want to get back more into writing. And that's actually one of the reasons I'm like hoping we can do most of the next season of SCP over like the course of the next 4 months. Because then that frees up my entire 2022 to just write. Because writing takes forever. Writing is like the slowest part of making a podcast. But yeah, no, I want to get more into some original writing. I'd love to come back to Margaret's Garden. I have a true crime show idea that I've been workshopping for like 3 months, that'll hopefully see the light of day someday soon. Yeah, I don't know. My future is definitely in podcasting. I'd love to make a comic book someday. I'm very, very slowly trying to get better at drawing to make a comic book, but that's like a 2025 goal right now.
So just become like one, that mangaka.
Yeah.
Just draw real bad, but write a good story, and then other people will say, hey, I'm going to draw this better for you. And he says, bet, and then just...
Yeah, basically. Now
One Punch Man and Mob Psycho 100, they're both...
Now, I feel like the best ways to kind of push myself as an artist where I am right now is like... I want to work on writing a bigger and a longer story. You know, SCP Season 2 is the longest thing I had ever written after I wrote SCP Season 1. Or sorry, Lake Clarity Season 1 and Lake Clarity Season 2. And then we wrote Margaret's Garden.
Man.
And Margaret's Garden was the
Freud
biggest thing I ever wrote.
Freud would have a field day with that slip.
Right? I did not write SCP.
I make it. It's mine. I did it all.
No, but it's been nice to return to writing for Margaret's Garden. So, like, the next show that I write, I want it to be even longer than Margaret's Garden. And, like, I have some ideas right now for, like, a 34-episode singular story with, like, a huge story arc that I really, really want to do. But, yeah, you know, I also want to, like I said, push myself into comics, push myself into maybe a novel someday, or at least, like, a collection of short stories. You know, comic books... I'd love to do animation or video games. I want to make a narrative text so badly. Like a narrative game text.
You should follow Doc McSquiddy on Twitter.
I do. They're very
good.
Yeah, no, they're great. I still need to pick up. Jesse, please remind me the name of their game.
Etios.
Yes, I bought that and it is sitting on my PC right now. But I have heard such great things about it. It's like. It's next on my to playlist.
You should, since you know you created SCP Archives, wrote them all yourself personally.
Each every one.
Blood, sweat, and tears. Each and every one. Who's DJ Cactus? Who cares? You should definitely check out one of his earlier games called Piratopic.
Ooh, okay.
It is easily an SCP all by itself.
Oh hell yeah!
It is about. Cassette tapes.
Oh.
What get you high, and if you look at them too much, they change you in esoteric ways.
Interesting. All right, I'm at 1%.
I think it's $5.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not.
I'm at what?
You can get nah. Question nine. We ain't done.
Let's do it.
Let's do more of these. From Kaitako, I think that's how I'm saying that right. So we're just gonna go with it. What's your favorite video game franchise?
Beans. fuck. I mean, like Halo is like the instinctive answer because that I put so many hours into Halo 3 when I was in like middle and high school. And Halo, I had a huge soft spot for Halo my entire life. God, like Alan Wake might be my favorite video game, but it's not a franchise per se until they make like Alan Wake 2, which, you know, fingers crossed. But yeah, I think Halo.
Pacific, what are you on? It's part of a franchise.
I kind of. Like, I know Control's connected to it.
He's in the DLC.
Yeah, but, you know, it's.
You shut your mouth. You're being really reductive right now.
There hasn't been a proper sequel yet. And I'm. Listen, I've been waiting for a sequel since before Quantum Break.
What's Alan
Oh, well, that it,
we are not. Yeah, we are not getting more Quantum Break. That ain't happening. They don't even own that.
I know. I did enjoy Quantum Break though. Yeah, my favorite.
But they made Alan Wake's American Nightmare. There's a sequel.
You're right.
You just didn't play it.
I did forget it. No, I did play Alan Wake's American Nightmare. I played the hell out of Alan Wake's American Nightmare. I think I went through that game like two or three times. Fuck. Yeah. No, you're right. I'm changing my. It's Alan Wake. I love Alan Wake so much.
That'd be an entire let's play of me and Ashley playing that a couple years ago.
You gotta do it again with the remaster.
Pass.
What's that?
I love that game. That's, but pass.
That's so good.
I mean, I'm not buying the Dead Space remake because that looks like trash too.
What? The Dead Space remake looks great. You're wrong.
It looks terrible. Why is it so bright?
Oh my god.
You're inside a ship in space.
You're a contrarian. Get out of here. What's the next question, Jesse?
So question 10 from a spooky spicy boy. What's your setup?
I'm in a closet. That is my setup. I am recording on a Zoom H6. Zooms are my favorite microphone because they're portable. They're field mics, so like you can toss two batteries in them and record on the go. They have they're technically like a not a sound box. What's the word, Jesse? Like a board. I don't know, a field kit.
A mixer?
Yeah, a mixer. That's the word I'm looking for. So you can actually plug up to four other microphones into the H6. So if I... When I've done some film work in the past, you know, I've plugged in, like, two boom mics, and I've had, like, my field track going and my two boom mics, and just records all of them in, like, high-quality waves. It's great. I am editing on Reaper now. I used to use Adobe Audition, but I've since moved over to Reaper. Just because it had some more control over, like, the VSTs and effects that I use.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love Adobe Audition. Gosh.
The first taste of poison, you never forget it.
Yep. Yeah, Reaper, Zoom H6. I actually just bought a new headset. I bought the Arctis Pro wireless headset. I had a pair of Surface headphones, which were really nice because they're like noise canceling, and it's generally noisy in my office, so like that's really helpful when I'm editing. But now I have the Arctis Pro. They're very expensive. You know, it's like a gaming headset, but they have like a nice little mixer box that plugs into your PC, so you can like change your equalizer on the box and like update it to your headphone. It's some nerdy stuff. It's a really nice pair of headphones, and I like it a lot.
So I have an old man story about headsets.
Wait.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, let me plug in my phone while you're doing this.
Yeah, heaven forbid we lose you after all of this. Is he gone?
Where's my charger?
You're so good at planning. You know, for all your... For all your planning and heads up, you're doing so great, sweetheart. We're so proud of you. Oh, here's a question for you. Have you been getting those annoying ads for Facebook saying, hey, you know, you should host your podcast on Facebook because we're really stable? And like, I got that email
I get them
every day before they crashed last week.
I have six podcasts on Facebook, like podcast pages. I get six emails about those every other day. It drives me insane.
We're doing great. We're having a great time.
We're back.
Talking to the best pal in the world.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. All right.
You're not cutting this in post, and I'm definitely not cutting this in post.
What's the next question, Jesse? Lay it on me.
Oh, no. That was all 10 of the community questions.
I plucked in my phone for
We have reached the end, as it were.
All of that hard work. Sorry, I'm scrolling through our questions, and I just want to see if there's like any fun ones I can ask you real quick. Nope, never mind. My iPad won't load because my Wi-Fi is dead, and I'm still using my cellular hotspot. So that's it for me, folks.
Thank you. Again, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Oh, here's a good one. How do you get a podcast started if you ever want to do it on your own?
Make it. Just do it.
Build a...
Press record. Hit play. Do your thing. It's going to be terrible, so get it out of the way early.
Build a blanket fort in your closet and be prepared to cry a lot.
I mean, go listen to episode 1 of Tales of That Town. Boy, it's not great. And it's definitely not indicative of what the show became. But it had to start somewhere.
Jesse's totally right. Like, you just... The best way to do it is just to do it. And, you know, be okay knowing that your first episode won't be perfect. You know, like, obviously put work and time into it because you want it to be as best as it will be. But it won't be perfect, and that's okay. Because the hardest part of creating is doing it and uploading it. And once you've done it once and you've figured out, you know, any shortcomings, you know, any problems you had with recording or editing, it's easy to solve those problems when you do it again for episode 2. So, yeah, get a script.
1000%.
Yeah, get a script. Do your pre-production planning. You know, you're not going to plan for everything, but, you know, plan to have a day that you're going to record, plan to have a day that you're going to edit, and plan to have a day that you want to release it. And if you want to do a big ongoing show, you know, most folks will recommend that you have, like, 2 or 3 episodes done and finished before you release your first one. And that way, you know, like, you know how long it takes you to do an episode. If it takes you 2 weeks, cool. You can release a new episode every 2 weeks. If it takes you a month, cool. Do a new episode every month. But whatever you choose to do, make sure you do it consistently. If you're going to commit to every week on Tuesday, make sure you upload every week on Tuesday until the story's done. And good luck. And have fun. The most important part is to have fun.
And get listener retention. But have fun.
That'll come later. If you're having fun, the listeners will come. The first people who follow your show or who follow you on, like, Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or wherever, they are going to be your biggest fans, and they are going to love and support everything you do. And a lot of those people will be your, like, family and your friends, and that's great, and that's okay. And then, like, the people that come after
that's true for you, my friend.
Yeah. But, you know, you're going to have that small handful of listeners, and they are, you know, people who just like your art in general. And they are going to be your biggest fans, and they are going to tell your friends. So, you know, let them work their magic. You just need to focus on creating. And once you are creating every week, and once you have a set schedule, and once you have it down pat, then you can worry about promoting your show. Then you can worry about making better graphics. Then you can worry about all those little small things. But you can't do any of those until the show is made and the show is ready to publish. So focus on that first and take your time with it, right? You know, you don't have to write an episode and release it the very next day. You can write it and record it and release it in 6 months. You know, it's going to take time, but you want to take the time to make sure you're doing it at least to a degree where you're happy with it. And when you're happy with it, set it out into the world. All right. Well, let's wrap this up before we ramble anymore. Folks, thanks for coming out and joining the live stream, if you're here for that. And if you weren't, thanks for tuning in on Patreon. This episode featured Pacific S. Obadiah and Jesse Hall. It was edited by Daisy McNamara and produced by Tom Owen and Brad Miska. As a reminder, our new true crime show, Insidious Inspirations, will premiere on the SCP Archives feed next Tuesday, January 25th, but you can go and subscribe to it right now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And SCP Archives Season 4, Project Serapis, will premiere on February 1st. All right, that's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.